This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. We've been talking to candidates running for governor this year, and today we talk with Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, who's running for the Republican nomination. Welcome to Stateside.
Thanks, Lester. Great to be back on the show with you.
We've been asking all the candidates a short list of important issues, so let's start with education. Average student test scores keep going down in Michigan. We're losing ground. What's the solution to that problem?
This is literally my top priority. If you want to have a good outcome, you have to have a good beginning. And so I would start with the pre-K part of it, making sure that kids are starting school ready to learn. We have a lot of programs. We need more of a system where they're working together, particularly for kids that are growing up in poverty. But then it's all hands on deck for reading. And it's more than just reading coaches. Reading coaches are an important part of it, but we have to ensure that every single kid learns to read, whether they have dyslexia or another type of learning disability, or whether they're just behind on phonics or vocabulary, or they need a motivational reading coach. We have to be able to do that right in order to get the rest of it down the road in terms of the rest of the education system. And then it's bringing back skilled trades and hands-on learning and getting away from this one-size-fits-all approach and recognizing there are a lot of different pathways to being successful. And the more that we can put that our parents and our kids, the information in their hands about where opportunity is, the better outcomes we're going to have.
So the things you were talking about as far as helping kids learn to read, it sounds like that's going to be expensive. How do you pay for that?
Well, I don't think it has to be all that expensive. I think where we make the investment is in our teachers. Our teachers, they need the type of support in gaining the latest and greatest in research and best practices in their classrooms. When I look at the other states that have really excelled in this area, whether the ones that have done well for a long time, like Massachusetts or Minnesota, or the ones that have really risen in recent years, like Tennessee, what you find is that they really put a lot into development of teachers, ongoing professional development of teachers. So whether it's behavior management in classes or identifying what the real problem is that is holding a child back and equipping them with the tools that they need in order to get the best outcomes for those students, regardless of whatever challenges they bring to the classroom with them. And so I think really this is the best thing that we can do is to take a page from Tennessee's book and really focus on helping our teachers to develop all the different best practices in terms of getting the highest and best potential out of their kids.
Despite an increase in the gasoline tax and higher registration fees, which people grumbled about, but they're still angry about the roads in Michigan. Governor Snyder says there should have been more money for repair and to improve transportation infrastructure. What's your take?
Well, we are in the middle of passing or implementing a road funding package that was passed just a few years ago. And this will be the first year that there's really substantial increased funding for our roads because of that. It'll work its way up to $1.2 billion. We're also putting additional general fund resources into our roads as the economy grows faster than expected. And then beyond that, we're paying off the debt. The previous administration left us with $2.3 billion in debt. So every single year, the transportation fund has to make hundreds of millions of dollars in loan payments. We no longer borrow money. We're paying off that debt. When the rest of it is retired, that'll be another boost to the annual funding. And then beyond that, it's about raising the standards, about getting better when we're replacing these roads, doing it in a way that the roads last longer and being more efficient with it, and expecting everybody who shares the right-of-way of the road to coordinate their repair, maintenance, and replacement schedules so you don't fix the road and then tear it up next year for a sewer line and then tear it up a few years later for a cable or something like that. It's the idea of all that being coordinated so you share the expenses, bring down the costs at the same time that we're investing more in our roads.
The debate on guns is always at the top of hot political issues. What's the best approach to stop mass shootings at schools and other places?
The most logical place to start is with security in our schools. If you think about the type of security that exists in buildings where you have precious people and things inside, why wouldn't we do those things at our schools? So hardening of the schools is a logical first step. The budget that is in the works right now has very significant resources to help schools cover the cost of not just secure entry, but it includes secure entry. It's also campus-wide monitoring and fail-safe communication systems and even things like having the resource officers on hand. And we also need to help our schools with guidance counselors and those who can identify problems before they become a crisis, good proactive measures that we can take in order to prevent this. We know that in our state, where we have a system for people to report and all of those tips are followed up on, that it has made a difference. It has saved lives, particularly with suicide, but I think also with potential violence, that we just need to stay really focused on this and doing everything that we can do to prevent a crisis from happening in the first place.
Healthcare, the possible end of Obamacare. We've got work for Medicaid in Michigan. What would you do as governor to make affordable healthcare insurance available to the greatest number of Michigan citizens?
We've made a lot of progress here in our state, but there's a really great opportunity in front of us right now with this strong economy. We are up 540,000 new jobs in our state. We had a 17-year low in unemployment, and we're the number six fastest income growth state in the nation as well. I mean, all of these things are really great demand drivers in our state, and it's created a huge demand for people. The biggest challenge that we are faced with today in terms of economic growth is not enough people to fill all these jobs that are being created. At the same time, there are people that need opportunity. The most important thing that we can do in order to help people get more independent lives and better health insurance coverage is to get them a great job or get them prepared to take one of these great jobs that have been created. And so that should be the focus. When we come to the social service reform, it's connecting people with the skills they need to go out there and compete and win in a 21st century global economy and not need so much help from the state in the first place.
We're talking to Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, who is running for governor in Michigan. Water contamination issues are being revealed across the state. What can Michigan do about better safeguarding our water?
One of the things that our state can be proud of is how proactive we are being, particularly compared to other states around the nation, with PFAS, this contamination that has shown up in a few places around our state. This is absolutely a nationwide problem. You only see a couple of states, maybe two or three states, that are being as proactive as Michigan and literally setting the standards on this. And so it's standing up the laboratories, understanding where these types of where this type of contamination has occurred over the last 50 or even 100 years, and then really building the science around it in the first place. I can't say enough about being proactive. Here in Michigan, we have a special responsibility. We are stewards of the largest deposit of surface fresh water you'll find anywhere in the world, and with that comes a great responsibility. And being proactive and setting that standard, being good stewards, it's a responsibility that we have bigger than anyone else.
During the campaign, you stressed that you spent a lot of time in Flint in the aftermath of the lead contamination issue. Many Flint residents still don't have confidence in the safety of the water. The state urges residents to use filters. Given that, why did the Snyder administration stop delivering bottled water to Flint?
Now that it's been almost 2 years that the Flint water system has met the same standards that every other water system in the state has to meet, it was time. It was always going to be controversial when you stop. The idea of bottled water was something that people felt more comfortable with, but the Flint water system is the most tested water system in the history of the United States of America by far. Nobody's even close. And so the level of and the degree of confidence in exactly what the condition of that water system is far beyond most other places. I don't blame somebody for not having confidence in it, but it is independently validated. It has been almost 2 years now that the water system has met the same standards, and so it was time to make that transition. When it comes to the recommendation for filters, it's just a matter of when there's construction happening in your neighborhood. It doesn't matter whether you're in Grand Rapids or Detroit or Jackson or Traverse City or Alpena or Flint. If there's construction in your neighborhood and you're on a public water system, you ought to use a filter. That's just a good practice for anybody that is on a public system where there's a lot of vibration and construction happening in your area. But I want to stress that Flint is meeting the same water quality standards that everybody else has to meet and has been for almost 2 years.
One of your Republican opponents, Bill Schuette, mentions at every opportunity that he has the endorsement of President Donald Trump. All of the Republican candidates, including you, have stressed how closely their policy and beliefs align with President Trump. We recently heard from former U.S. Speaker of the House John Boehner say while he was in Michigan that there is no Republican Party. There's a Trump Party. The Republican Party is off somewhere taking a nap. I wonder what you think of that.
Well, I don't agree with that characterization. I'm around the highways and the byways of Michigan a lot more than former Speaker Boehner is. And the bottom line is our people are focused on good schools for their kids and opportunity and job growth and income growth and the ability to chase their hopes and dreams and aspirations in this state. They want their auto insurance rates lowered and their roads fixed. So I don't think that these are matters of political parties as much as they're issues that people want results on. And the candidates that come forward with realistic plans, like real plans, not just bullet points or talking points, those are the candidates that are going to do well with the voters. And so whenever I know these questions and people tend to focus and talk a lot about endorsements, I have the endorsement of Governor Snyder, for example. But at the end of the day, I think that people are going to make their decision based on the policy proposals of the individuals, not based on endorsements. Endorsements are not plans.
You and Governor Rick Snyder have worked very closely. He brought you in on a lot of things, including helping out with the budget. I'm just wondering, after working with him so closely for nearly 8 years, if you're elected governor, how would you lead differently than Rick Snyder?
Well, it's a matter of emphasis on what we need from this point forward. In the beginning, there was a need for a total restructuring. Our state was at the bottom of every single list you'd want to be at the top of. We're at the top of every list you'd rather be at the bottom of. But moving forward, as we've seen all these new jobs created, our biggest challenge here for economic growth is we need more people that are prepared to take all these jobs that are being created. And so the emphasis now is on investment in our people. And that's what I'm so excited about. I'm very much a people person anyway. I love being with people and around people. I mean, that part of this work and this job is the most rewarding part. And we built a strong foundation. That what goes on top of that foundation, it's just all about people development. And by the way, it's not just our general institutions like our education system, but I don't want anybody to get left behind. I mean, spend a lot of public policy development time on disability employment and helping people from addiction that have addiction issues recover and treating mental illness. And even when a person is getting out of prison and it's time for them to get their life back on track, how do we help them do that? That's what I'm really excited about. In this demand that exists for people today is creating opportunities for those that have been left out in the past.
As part of the Snyder administration, what, if anything, do you wish would have been done differently?
Well, you can look back on any administration and see some areas where, with hindsight, things could have been different. And there are certainly many examples of that. One though, I'll hold out there is that I think that when it comes to no-fault auto insurance reform, that the problem has been this all-or-nothing approach that has been taken. Our people need relief from rights, but we shouldn't be talking about sacrificing good coverage. We have a world-class traumatic brain injury healthcare system in our state, and we should not put that at jeopardy. So rather than taking an all-or-nothing approach where you have 6 or 7 or 8 major reform stuff into one bill, I think a better approach would be to take these changes one at a time. Start with a fraud authority. Give it teeth. Staff it up. Make it a real deterrent. That will make a bigger difference in the areas that have the highest rates. And then we need to have a requirement for both timely payment and a rate schedule for what gets billed to our catastrophic claims fund. I mean, there's in some cases, there are reports that the bills being submitted there are too high. In other cases, it's that payment takes 3 years to get, and so it makes this whole system inefficient and expensive. And if you want to keep the cost down, I think it really makes sense to open it up to more transparency, to really know exactly what the cost drivers are that are leading to these higher car insurance assessments. And if we can just get those three things done, take them all standalone, one at a time, move them through the system, we'll get some momentum behind reform, get those rates down, and get people some success in working together. I mean, these different sides of this issue have been so polarized for so many years that we need a game changer. And I think the game changer is a totally different approach to reform.
Well, I guess the question really was, what would you wish you would have done differently, considering that the Snyder administration during its tenure had false unemployment fraud accusations, had the Flint water debacle, had controversy with emergency managers. None of that is something that you would want to reconsider?
Well, you asked me for one example, and I gave you one example, and I said there were many. I could give you a few more, too. There's some lessons learned that, for example, in Flint, when I talked to public officials, there are a couple lessons learned. First is that when a person says they have a problem, even if the experts disagree, right, like in the case of Flint, where people said, you know, we have this problem, and then the experts within the bureaucracy said, yeah, but, you know, we've got these tests and it looks okay. It's important that you continue to push past the jargon and the technical compliance speak and get right down to plain language. And bureaucracies and government are so good at giving compliance speech. That's something that we, as public officials, that mostly are people from other walks of life that come into these situations, getting past that is really important. So it's not accepting technical speak for an answer, but instead forcing plain language answers. I'll give an example of that would be, if the question, somebody says, I've got a problem with the water, I don't trust it, and so the question is asked, is it safe? And a person in the bureaucracy says, well, the water testing, according to the most recent samples, falls within the federal lead and copper rule of 15 parts per billion. Well, it kind of sounds like they said yes, but they didn't really say yes. I mean, there's other questions like, is that standard the right standard in the first place? What do the trends look like? How confident are we that the samples are representative of the entire system? And there are all kinds of additional questions to force the bureaucracy to get real about the situation instead of just leaving a compliance speak type of an answer. And that's a lesson that I hope that every single public official across our country really takes to heart.
Brian Kelly is running for the Republican nomination to be candidate for governor. He is currently lieutenant governor of the state of Michigan. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Lester. Great to be on the show with you again.